Did you bring your buckets? It's good to be together, though, isn't it? Amen. Did you have a good Christmas time? All right. Great, great. I did, too. I brought my spoiled wife back with me. It's good to have her. We both got really spoiled over the holiday, being able to be with the grandbabies, and we are still waiting, by the way, on grandbaby number two. So we'll let you know as soon as that event happens. But it is, well, the second one that's coming is what I meant, not the second grandchild, the second one that's coming. We are coming to the conclusion of our study on Not a Fan. This is the final lesson in that series of lessons that we've been doing on becoming a truly, completely committed follower of Jesus and not being satisfied with being just a fan. We're actually, this lesson is part two of the lesson we did last week, where what we're doing is focusing on really a very key word in the text, in the statement that Jesus makes in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And so this morning we're going to focus on the word daily and the emphasis that Jesus makes there on that this is a daily occurrence. It needs to be a daily event in our lives. And so let's focus on that whole idea. But you know, really, when you think about all that we've been studying and talking about being a follower of Jesus, and Jesus telling us to take up a cross, that whole concept really just kind of runs counter to what we typically really seek after, doesn't it? I mean, if you think about it this way, don't we really spend a good deal of our time seeking to find and make ourselves as comfortable as possible? And I don't know of too many things that really represent the idea of comfort like the Snuggie. I mean, think about it. It's a blanket, okay? It's a fleece blanket that you wear, okay? I mean, how much more comfortable can you really ask for, okay? And so those things are so comfortable, I decided to take advantage of the after Christmas sales, okay, because they were really well, and I went ahead and I ordered me a Snuggie. I figured this would be the best opportunity for me to ever have six-pack abs. And I also, I didn't want to leave Cindy out, I went ahead and ordered her one too, okay? So, but you guys are laughing, okay? But I actually ordered a set of the slippers for every one of you, okay? So you're going to get slippers except for Wes and Beverly. I got something special for them, okay? Snuggies represents the greatest amount of comfort that you can have. You know, that's what we really kind of seek, is that comfort and that the desire to be warm and cozy and comfortable in life, don't we? But it goes against the idea of taking up a cross, doesn't it? We're talking about on one side our desires of our heart is for us to be comfortable. We work at it. We really strive hard to be as comfortable as we can in life. And yet Jesus, on the other hand, is saying, take up your cross and follow me. See, the two don't really go well together. And you see, here is an example of somebody who wants to take up the cross, but wants to be able to do it as comfortably as possible. Do you see the wheels at the bottom of the cross, down in the bottom right-hand corner there? Yeah, I'm going to take up my cross, but I want to do it in a way that is comfortable for me to be able to carry that cross. You see, I think that what we have done in a lot of ways is that we have provided for people snuggy religion, if you will. It's a religion that focuses on all the good points and all the comfortable things, all the things that we like about following Jesus, but omits the tough stuff. It omits the sacrifice. It omits the service. It omits the pain. It omits the suffering. You see? When in actuality, Jesus is called upon us to carry a cross. You see, fans are content to have snuggy religion. You see? But followers want to take up a cross and follow Jesus. And there's a big, big difference between those two. Because Jesus says, if you would come after me, if you want to come after me, then you've got to throw away the Snuggie. You've got to take up a cross. Jesus did not design or intend for those who would follow Him to seek their own comforts, but rather to die to themselves and to follow Him. See? And so it's a matter of being able to let go of the Snuggie religion. And in order for that to happen, there's this whole idea of dying. But something that I realized in 31 years of ministry and dealing with a lot of people over those years, funerals and so forth, is that dead people really don't care. You ever realize that? Dead people just really don't care. In fact, you might even say they have a bad attitude. They don't care about anything. Okay? If you think I'm wrong, the next time you're at a funeral, go up to the casket and ask the person that's laying there if they care that you are even there. I promise you, they don't. They don't care. They don't care about what they look like laying in that casket, although we put a whole lot of emphasis on, oh, doesn't he look good? You see? They don't care about what their house looks like. And all these visitors that are coming into town for their funeral worry about what the house looks like. The dead person doesn't care because dead people don't care about anything. They don't care about how much money is in their bank account. You see? They don't care about what other people think of them. They just don't care. That's the way dead people really are. The dead are no longer concerned about the things of this life. You see? They just don't care. When we die to ourself, we are no longer concerned with self. You see, we can no longer care about self. That's what happens when we die. We no longer care about self. You see, self gets out of the way and Jesus takes its place. You see, we don't care about what other people think. We don't care about how much stuff we have. Not when we are truly dead to the world. Because dead people don't really care about those kinds of things. When Jesus tells us to take up a cross and to follow Him, He's talking about us dying to ourselves. But He's talking about that, us doing that on a daily basis. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, the text that was read for us as we began, the Apostle Paul challenges our thinking on this whole idea of dying and the fact that when we become a Christian, we are to die to ourselves. What shall we say? Should we go on sinning so that grace may increase? In other words, someone would say, well, if we get grace because we sin, then we should just keep on sinning so that we get more grace, right? Makes sense. And Paul says, wrong thinking, by no means, he says. Why? Because we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into His death, say, we were therefore buried with Him through baptism into His death. You get the message here? That the theme is what? It's death. Say, that when we give our life to Christ, we decide that we're going to be a follower of Jesus, that it requires us to die. To die to ourselves and to live a new life for Jesus Christ. We rise out of the waters of baptism into a new life. See? That's what following Jesus is all about. But you know what the problem is? The problem is we have a survival instinct. That's just part of being human. Okay, we all have this survival instinct that is built within us to where whenever our life feels threatened, we're going to do whatever it takes in order to survive. That's just part of human nature. Okay, in fact, we'll make sure that before a tragedy strikes, we're going to try to be prepared as much as we can so we get our survival kit. you know, whether it's a hurricane survival package or tornado or whatever. We want to make sure that we can survive whatever the tragedy we might face. And so what do? We go out and we get a survival manual. There's plenty of those out there. And so that way, if you study the survival manual, then you can learn how to build yourself one of these in case you ever get lost in the woods, you see? So you don't have to worry about being out in the weather and the elements and so forth. You know how to survive. And we make such an effort at surviving, you realize there's an awful lot of things that we can learn, a lot of different areas that we can learn in order to survive in any circumstance, you see? So if you're out in the forest, you can learn how to survive out in the forest with the bears and, you know, the lions and so on and so forth, right? Or this is one of my favorites here. You know, the wife goes out of town. The husband is panicking because what am I going to do? She's not here to cook for me. Well, you can always get the husband's survival kit, which includes is based basically on M&Ms, right? If you are a parent of a teenager, did you realize, or those of you who are getting ready to have teenagers, there is a parent of teenager survival kit you can get, okay? So that way you can survive the adolescence of your children growing up. I had a colleague of mine in counseling that used to say all the time, he says, you know the way that you survive the teenage years of your children? He said, what you do is that when your child turns 13 years old, so you go out and you get one of these great big whiskey barrels that has a hole in it, and you put them inside the whiskey barrel, and you feed them through the hole. And he said, when they turn 18, plug the hole. You see? So there's all kinds of ideas out there on how to survive as parents of teenagers, all right? But then, of course, if you're into this sort of thing, then you can also get the zombie survival guide and learn how to survive that, you see? So, you know, we have all this kind of stuff that kind of, you know, it feeds on this survival instinct that we have. We have a need and a desire to survive. And I think we have what I just refer to as a spiritual survival instinct also. You see? Spiritually, we have a difficulty dying because of this survival instinct. We don't want to let go of ourselves. You see? We don't want to die to ourselves. It's tough. You see? Dying to ourselves goes against this self-preservation mode that I think that we have built within us. And so it's tough. It's difficult to let go and to truly die because survival kicks in. I want to hold on to, help me, me. I want to hold on to me. See? And so I'll give Jesus some, but not all, because I want to survive. I want to hold on to me. And yet Jesus calls upon us to carry a cross. And as we talked about in our previous lessons, that taking up our cross requires us to die. See? Not to survive. Romans chapter 7, an interesting passage that the Apostle Paul talks about this whole idea that we have of the difficulty that it takes for us to really die to ourselves. Go read that whole passage, verses 14 through 25 especially, but let's look at a couple of specific verses here. Paul, you know, mentions this struggle that I think probably all of us have in our lives on a regular basis. I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. You ever find yourself in that struggle? You know the things that you're not supposed to do, but you do those anyway. And the things that we are supposed to do, we struggle with doing those things. And Paul says that's a struggle that he had. And you go on down to verse 21. He says, "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me." And that's a struggle that we have. That survival, spiritual survival instinct that just is there that makes it so tough to die. See? To truly let go of ourselves. maybe sometimes in your life you have felt like this, you know, where you had the devil on one shoulder, the angel on the other, and that old classic cartoon idea of, you know, one whispering in one ear and the other in the other ear. One telling you to go ahead and do it, enjoy it, get the snuggie, be comfortable. Oh, sure, you're a Christian, but God wants you to be comfortable. And the other one telling you, look, you've got to die to yourself. And we struggle back and forth with that, don't we? Why? Because temptation is out there. Temptation is everywhere around us. See? And Satan just keeps hurling it at us over and over and over again. Satan works on us daily. See? Temptation is a daily thing for him. You realize this? You can find a lot of free cheese, but it's in the mouse traps, you see. Mouse traps are always filled with free cheese. And that's really what sin is all about, isn't it? It's like that mouse trap. Offer you something for free, and then there goes the trap is sprung on you, and you're caught. Okay? And that's what temptation really does. It catches us. So how do we overcome that? How do we get past the temptation? How do we truly die to ourselves the way that Jesus is calling upon us to do, to take up our cross and to be a true follower of Him? How do we overcome the temptation that we face every single day? Well, the reality is you have to choose which way you're going to go. It really boils down to us making choices in our lives. We can choose to either follow Jesus or to live for ourselves. The difficulty and the problem is that we cannot have it both ways. You cannot choose both. You've got to choose one or the other. You see? Because the roads go in completely opposite directions. See? And so we really do have to make a choice. If you want to overcome the temptation and you want to be a true follower of Jesus, you have to choose to do that. See? Jesus said, take up your cross daily. And it truly, truly is an everyday thing. Okay? Take up your cross daily and follow me. If anyone would come after me, he must take up his cross daily and follow me. And the word daily in that text, in that statement that Jesus made, was not, it's not in there just for filler. Okay? It's there for a purpose. And the purpose is that Jesus knew the daily struggle that you and I would face in our lives. And so he emphasized the fact that it requires a daily choice to take up that cross and to follow him. In the days that we don't choose to take up the cross, those days we are choosing to live for ourselves. Because it is daily. And you know, if you think about it, daily really is so daily, isn't it? I mean, think about it this way. There is an awful lot of things that we do on a daily basis, okay? There's all kinds of stuff. Most of us take showers or baths every day, right? Okay? Hopefully most of us do that, okay? We brush our teeth on a daily basis, hopefully, okay? We do those things daily. We don't have a problem with that, do we? We get up and we read the daily newspaper. You see, so that we know what's going on in the world around us. And we even, if we're in mind to it, take our daily vitamins. You see? So we are used to doing things on a daily basis. That concept of doing something daily is not foreign to us. It's a matter of the repetition, isn't it? We do it every day. We get ourselves in the habit of doing things, and we do them every day. You see? We know daily, don't we? We know how to do it. And so Jesus is calling upon us to die to ourselves. But what we have to understand is that dying to become a Christian is an event. Okay? That's an event. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. We looked at it a few moments ago. Shall we keep on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. Why? Because we died to sin. And that's what we do when we first give our life to Christ. And we decide that we're going to be a follower of His. We die to ourselves, and we're buried with Christ in baptism, you see, and we rise to a new life. But that's an event. We die to our sins. But dying as a follower of Jesus is daily. Once we become a follower, then it requires us to continue every day to die to Him. And John, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, I think illustrates that the best that I know. If we walk in the light, and that word walk is in the present tense in the Greek language, which indicates that it is an ongoing thing. It's happening constantly in our lives, or in other words, it would be happening daily. Thank you. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That is, we have fellowship with God. Okay? So He's talking about our daily walk in life. When Jesus says, if you want to be my follower, you want to be my disciple, then you've got to take up your cross. You've got to die on a daily basis. Okay? Follow me. Because dying and being a follower of Jesus is so daily. It's not something that we can just decide to do one time in our life and then go on. Because we will fall too easily into the survival mode of self-preservation. And we go back to who we were. And so dying daily, Jesus says, is what's required for us to be able to stay on track. And to truly follow Him with that commitment. Each day, we have to choose to take up our cross. And each day, we have to choose to follow Jesus. As I said a moment ago, on any day that you do not choose to do that, that's the day you're going to be living for yourself. The really great thing about daily, though, is that every day we get to start all over again. And so, if today maybe I didn't do as good a job as I needed to, then if the Lord gives me a new day tomorrow, then I can choose to follow Him. You see, today doesn't depend on what I did yesterday or the day before, nor does tomorrow. Every single day, I get to start all over again. Okay? And that's why I think Jesus again says, daily. Take up your cross daily. Because it really, really is a daily thing. Every single day, we have to decide, are we going to follow Jesus today? That means I've got to take up my cross. As I deny myself and live for Him so that I can follow Him. Jesus said, if anyone would be my disciple or come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That's the text that we have been focusing on for the last couple of months. To help us to be completely committed followers of Jesus. And I hope that through this series of lessons that we've been doing over all this time, that it has challenged you to realize that Jesus wants you to be a follower, completely committed follower of His. That He is not satisfied or desiring to have a bunch of fans that are cheering him on. But Jesus wants us to be followers of his. And I pray that these things that we've been studying over all this time, that you will carry them with you into this new year that we're beginning. And that it will help you to truly be the kind of followers that Jesus wants you to be. It will help me. It's already helped me in a lot of ways. I still have a long way to go. And I'm challenging you to go with me. Okay? As we strive to be followers of Jesus, totally and completely committed to following him. This lesson series is finished. But the work is still left to be done. The work of following, that is. And I hope that you will accept that challenge that Jesus gives. If you're already a Christian, and maybe you've done Romans 6, okay, 1 through 4, that you died to yourself and you were buried with Christ in baptism, and you started out in a new life with Jesus. And if you've done that, but maybe you found yourself, as we've been doing these studies, that you look at yourself and go, you know, I did that, yes, but I find myself being more of a fan than a follower. I challenge you to do something about that right now. Recommit yourself to take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. If you have not given your life to Christ, if you've not confessed Him as Lord, then you can do that right now. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then confess Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, being buried with Christ as you die to your sin, so that you can begin today living a new life in Jesus, being a completely committed follower of His. If you're ready to make that commitment to do that today, all you got to do is come up and let me know. I'll be up here to receive anyone who would like to come up front. Ted will be in the back if you'd like to have a private conversation or prayer with him back there. He'll be back there to receive you. We want to help everyone and anyone we can as we strive each day of our lives to be truly, completely committed followers of Jesus. Let's stand together and sing.